Hari
Hari
Deva
Deva
Shesha
Shesha
Aduna
Aduna
Api
Api
Samavasyati
Samavasyati
Na
Asya
Asya
Param
Param Nantam vidam yamami munaya grajaste
Nantam vidam yamami munaya grajaste
Maya balasya purushasya kutovaraye
Maya balasya purushasya kutovaraye
Gayan gunandasha shatananati deva
Gayan gunandasha shatananati deva
Sheshodunapi sama Samavasyati nasya param
Sheshodumapi samavasyati nasya param
Nantam vidamya hamami munayo grajaste
Nantam vidamya hamami munayo grajaste
Maya balasya purushasya kato varaye
Maya balasya purushasya kato varaye
Gayan gunanda shashatanana adi deva
Gayan gunanda shashatanana adi deva
Sheshodunapi samavasyati nasya param
Sheshodunapi samavasyati nasya param
Nantam vidamya hamami munayo grajaste
Nantam vidamya hamami munayo grajaste
Maya balasya purushasya kuto varaye
Maya balasya purushasya kuto varaye
Gayan gunam yashashatana adivika
Gayan gunam yashashatana adivika
Sheshodura Sheshodunapi samavasyati nasya param
Sheshodunapi samavasyati nasya param
Nantam vidamya hamami munayo grajaste
Nantam vidamya hamami munayo grajaste
Maya balasya purushasya kuto varaye
Maya balasya purushasya kuto varaye
Gayan gunanda shashatana nahadi deva
Gayan gunanda shashatana nahadi deva
Sheshodunapi samavasyati nasya param
Sheshodunapi samavasyati nasya param
Nantam vidami ahamani mayo grajaste
Nantam vidami ahamani mayo grajaste
Maya balasya purushasya kuto varaye
Maya balasya purushasya kuto varaye
Gayan gunanda shashatana nahari deva
Gayan gunanda shashatana nahari deva
samavasyati nasya param
Sheshodunapi samavasyati nasya param
Let's kiss.
Nantam vidamya hamami munayo grajaste Maya balasya purushasya kuto varaye Gayan gunanda shashatana nahati deva Sesho dunati samabhasya vinashya para
Na
never
Anam
End
Vidami
Vidami
Do I know Aham,
Aham,
myself,
myself.
Ami,
Ami,
and all those,
and all those.
Munaya,
Munaya,
great sages,
great sages.
Agraja,
Agraja,
born prior to you,
born prior to you.
Te,
Te,
you,
you.
Maya balasya,
Maya balasya,
of the omnipotent.
Omnipotent.
Purushasya,
Purushasya,
of the personality of Godhead. Kutaha, what to speak of others. Avara,
born after us.
Yay, those. Gayan,
by singing.
Gunan, qualities. Dashushata, anana. One who has 1000 faces. Adideva, the first incarnation of the Lord. Shesha, known as Shesha. Aduna, until now. Api,
even.
Samavasiti, can achieve. Na, not. Asya, of him. Param,
limit.
Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Neither I nor all the sages born before you know fully the omnipotent personality of Godhead. So what can others who are born after us know about Him? Even the first incarnation of the Lord, namely Shesha, has not been able to reach the limit of such knowledge, although he is describing the qualities of the Lord with 1000 faces. Purport. The omnipotent personality of Godhead has primarily three potential manifestations, namely internal, external, and marginal potencies, with unlimited expansions of these three energies. As such, the potential expansions can never be calculated by anyone, because even the personality of Godhead himself, as the incarnation of Shesha, cannot estimate the potencies, although he has been describing them continuously with his 1000 faces. Nantam vidamiham ami munayogra jaste maya balasya purushasya vitovaraye gayan gunan dasha shatan anana adi deva sheshav dunapi samabhasiti nasya param. Neither I nor all the sages born before you know fully the omnipotent personality of Godhead. So what can others who are born after us know about Him? Even the first incarnation of the Lord, namely Shesha, has not been able to reach the limit of such knowledge, although he's describing the qualities of the Lord with 1000 faces. Maham Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Vidaya Srimati Bhakti Vidanta Swarnati Navane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Vijarne So the Livantes within this creation, they're considered to be new. Even Brahma, who is now, this is his 50th year. Brahma is 50 years old, and it's midday. It's right at the one half of his life. So even he's considered to be new. 50 years of Brahma's life is approximately 150 trillion years, and he's considered to be young. So what to speak of the other living entities who were born after Brahma? They're all considered to be younger than Brahma. Therefore, when Arjuna saw Krishna in his universal form, he said, Adyantam anadi deva para anadi madhyantam anadi dat madhyantam antam vedyam. Anadi madhyantam ananta viryam ananta bahu shasi suri netram vashamitvam dirksham samanta vashamitvam bahu anavasi Anadi mantyantam ananta viryam ananta bahu shasi suri netram pashami tvam dita utashahatra vaktram svatejasa vishram idam tapandam. So this is in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna is seeing Krishna's universal form. So he says, Anadi, that you are the original. Madhyanta. But not only Krishna is the original, but he's also the middle and the end. Anadi, Madhyantam, Ananta, Virya. And he has unlimited power. Ananta, Anadi, Anadi, Madhyantam, Ananta, Virya. Ananta, Bahu, Shasi, Surya, Netra. He has unlimited eyes. He has unlimited arms. Ananta, Bahu, Shasi, Surya, Netra. That the sun and moon of his arm, his eyes. Pashami, from Dita, Bhutashavatra, and from his mouth is coming blazing fire. Svategasa, Vishvam, Ananta, Adyam. And blazing forth, he's heating all the universe by his qualities. Svategasa, Vishvam, Ananta, Svategasa, Vishvam, Bhutashavatram, Svategasa, Vishvam, Idam Dupandam, Dupandam means heating. So, Krishna is not very easily understood. How is it that someone can have the sun and moon as his eyes in this universal form? How is it that someone can be the beginning, the middle, and the end of all things? So, Bhagavad Gita Krishna, he says that in this, within our perception, there are certain things that are considered to be great. At least Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, who has some experience, not only of this material world, but of the whole universe. So in the 10th chapter, he'll mention such things as Praladas, Chayasmi, Daityanam, Kala, Kali, Tamaham, Mriganam, Chami, Gengaham, Vaina, Tejas, Tapakshinam, Pavatam, Pavatam, Asmi, Rama, Shastri, Vitamaham, Jakshinam, Makaras, Chayasmi, Shota Samasmi Janavi. And go on and on. But Krishna gives approximately almost 80 vibhutis that he has. Among them is Prahladas Chasmi Daitanam. That he, among the Daiti demons, he's Prahlad. Amongst the subduers, he's time. So even if we just meditate upon time, how time is changing everything. Great demons like Hiranyakashipu, they wanted to become immortal, but although they got great benedictions, or he got great benedictions from Lord Brahma, still he could not become immortal. Because Brahma said, even I'm not immortal. That means that Brahma doesn't know how to stop time. And with the speak of Brahma, none of us know how to stop time. No one that we know, knows how to even stop time, even for a moment. So what is our claim to control the material world when the very body that we have, where we're trying to do it, is being taken away from us by time? So if we want to control something, first of all, we should try to control time. But since that's impossible, we should understand that we don't have any control in the material world. But who is in charge of time? Krishna says, many places of Bhagavad Gita. He says, Kalasmi lokashaya krit parido, lokansa maharata viha parita, vitepi tvamnabha vishanti sarve, vivasita pratni ukeshyoda. That time I am, the destroyer of all the worlds, and I have come here to engage all living entities. So Krishna is destroying not only our own little body, but he's destroying the entire universe. So here he says that Kala Kali Tamaham, Kalos Mrityu Sava Arashaham, as death I take everything away, Kalos Mi Varatarashama, that I am time. So many, many places Krishna talks about himself as being time. And amongst the sharks, or amongst the great animals, the Mrigas, he's the lion. And amongst the Mrigaham, the birds, he's Garuda. The purifiers, he's the wind. Of the fishes and the of the great human beings, he's Ra. Of the fishes, he's the shark. And of rivers, he's the Janavi. That's the Ganges. Shrotasama is Vijanavi. So then he says, Yajad Vibhuri Mat Sattvam Srimad Orditam Evava Tattar Evava Gachatvam Amate Chamsa Sambhava. That what is there a need for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support the entire creation. So all this energy and all the living entities, everything is an expansion of Krishna. So within our little experience, that we appreciate so many things, just like one time Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada was visited by one gentleman, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada was showing him his different printing presses. They had the Gaudiya Patrika. And that printing press was producing, I think it was weekly or something like that, a newspaper about Krishna, Krishna consciousness. So the man was surprised that every week, or maybe it was every day, they were producing a newspaper about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he said, well, I'm amazed that, you know, you can actually produce a newspaper every day about God. So he said, why? He said that this material universe is just one part of the creation of Krishna. There's three bhuti, and there's eka vibhuti. So this material world is eka vibhuti, one part of the, one quarter part of the creation of God. So in this one quarter part, there are so many universes, unlimited universes, as I told the story before. One time when temple president was speaking to Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada said that in the spiritual world there is one lotus flower called Goloka Vrindavan. And it's so big that all the unlimited Vaikuntha planets, they can fit into that one planet. And each Vaikuntha planet is bigger than the entire material universe, the whole with all the universes. And there are unlimited Vaikuntha planets all floating in the cosmos in the spiritual sky. And one little part, in one little part of the spiritual sky, there's one little cloud. And in that cloud, Lord Karanadakashai Vishnu, he lies down, and when he breathes out, unlimited universes come out of his pores of his body. And they expand during his breathing period. And unlimited Brahmas, or then he enters into each one of the universes, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and from the lotus navel of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu comes forth lotus flowers in all these universes, and there Lord Brahma is born. And some Brahmas have 10 million heads, some Brahmas have 10 billion heads, some Brahmas have 1 million heads, some have 1,000 heads, and in the smallest of all the universes, Brahma has 4 heads. We have some distinction. Some people can claim to be the greatest of the great. So we can claim to be the smallest of the small, and having the smallest universe. Smallest, what is the head? Some expression. Small is good or something. Beautiful. Small is beautiful. So we can claim we're in the most beautiful universe because it's the smallest. Amir, at the most, or at least, is 4 billion miles across. So in this universe, there are so many planets. This Earth planet is floating just like a speck of dust in the air. And on this planet, there are so many cities, and there's so many different continents, so many different nations, there are so many cities. And each city, they're putting out news daily, sometimes two, three editions of one newspaper. So in this little tiny part of the universe, this little tiny material world, we're putting out so much news, so why can there not be news about the other three fourths, which is practically unlimited compared to this? So the man was quite impressed. He said, actually, we can put out a newspaper every second. The only problem is that no one is interested in breathing room. There's no customers. So as I was saying, that Prabhupada was describing to this temple president how all these Vaikuntha planets are in this one little place, or in this, in Goloka Vrindavan, could be fit there, and the cloud in the sky is material universe, material world, and Garbhodakshaya Vishnu enters into all the different universes that Garbhodakshaya Vishnu expands. And then Prabhupada said that in one little planet called the Earth planet, there are so many continents, and in every continent, there is a so many different countries, and one country is called America, and in America there are so many states, one is called California, and in California there are so many different cities, one of them is called Los Angeles, and in Los Angeles there are so many different places, counties, one of them is called Culver City, and in Culver City there are so many different streets, one of them is called Santa Monica Boulevard, in Santa Monica Boulevard there are so many different houses, and one of them is that's called this temple, and in this temple there's one temple president, and he thinks he's controlling everything. The living entity is quite insignificant, and therefore he imagines that everything else must also be insignificant just like he is. So even Lord Brahma, he says that how can we understand the personality of God, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, and maybe do a swargana pravana maharshaya aham adhir hi devanam maharshanam shasarvashaha. The maybe do a swargana. Even the demigods, as great as Brahma, cannot understand Krishna. Maybe do a swargana pravana maharshaya. So the Maharishis, they also can't understand him. Aham adhir hi devanam. Because even before the demigods, Maharshanam Jasarvasha and everyone else, and the Rishis and everyone else, I was there. Yom Ajamanadim Cha Veti Lokam Eshvaram Asamudosa Marteshu Sarapapai Pamushite. But he who knows me as the unborn, Yomam Ajam Anadir Cha, as the beginningless, Veti Lokam Eshvaram, as the Supreme Lord of all the universes, of all the planets. Veti Lagamaheshra, Asamudo, without any doubt, Samarteshu, Sarapapai Pramujate, then he becomes free from all sinful reactions and he becomes immortal. Maharshaya Saptapurave, Chakra Manavastata, Madhava Sarabhuteshu, Maharshaya Saptapurave, Chakra Manavastava, Madhava Manasajata Yesham Loki Mahapraja. That the seven great sages and before them the four Kumaras, they were born out of my mind. And all the descendants, they come from them. So everything here in this universe had its beginning when Krishna expands himself. That the original father is a person, is Krishna. He's the father of everyone. If someone has 10 sons, then people think, oh, that's quite impressive. But what happens if someone has trillions of sons? That's quite impressive. What to speak of 100 quadrillion, billion sons? So Krishna says, Sarva yona shikondeya, mortayat sambhavantiya, tasa brahma mahadyaunir, ahambija prajapita. It should be understood that all living entities in this world were made possible by birth in this material creation, and that I'm the seed-giving father. Therefore, how can we conceive of someone who's the father of everyone? The Darwinists, as we probably know, they say that everything came out of the monkeys. That the monkeys are our father. There's some monkey who's our father. But does anyone here claim that they know one of their great ancestors was a monkey? Did someone here, in their family tree, when they trace it back, their great-great-great-grandfather or grandmother, they have a picture of her, and she is, or he is quite hairy, and they're on a tree. Here's my great-great-great-grandmother.
She's smiling at least. And this is her father. This is her husband. Look at his muscles. Something good to say about him. So who here claims that they know that one of their descendants, you know, one of my descendants was a general in the army, and his father was a minister, and his father was, owned a factory, and his great-grandfather was a monkey. Grew up in a zoo in New York City. Can anyone claim like that? And that when we trace the monkey's ancestry further back, we find that actually his great ancestor was a mouse. And we keep on tracing it further back, we find out that the mouse, he had an ancestor who was a rock. So then we figure out that two rocks, they met each other, they fell in love, they produced the mouse, that later on gave birth to a monkey, that was part of our family tree. So who thinks like that? Everyone knows from human beings. Therefore, we can understand that as all our ancestors that we can conceive of were all human beings, so the original ancestor must have been also a person. So Krishna says he's that original ancestor of all living entities. That instead of evolution being progressively upward, we can see that actually evolution, practically speaking, is devolution. That people are becoming less capable as time goes on. But we can accept that there's an original father, and then we can appreciate he must be very great, even from that point of view. That, and Brahma said, that Garbhadakshaya Vishnu was his father. He asked Krishna, "Are you not my father, Narayana?" When Brahma came down, and he saw this little cowherd boy holding some fruit salad in his left hand. Didn't even know he was supposed to put it in his right. Some fruit salad and some rice. That he was not fooled, but at this point, after seeing Krishna's mystic power, and he said, "Are you not my father, my original father, Narayan?" So though he appeared like an ordinary coward boy, but he had the potency even to bewilder even Brahma. Therefore, here it says that even Shesha, who has unlimited hoods and since time immemorial, has been glorifying the qualities, the forms, the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even he can't understand where is the end. Unfortunately, we find the end very quickly. We think we've understood everything about Krishna, so now I can retire from Krishna consciousness and find something new to do. We've already heard everything about Krishna's glories, and if we go, we'll simply hear the same old thing again. But Shesha, with unlimited hoods, he's, since time immemorial, been glorifying Krishna, and he still can't find the end. So he must know something that we don't know about Krishna. That there's actually something more to find out about. And at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, we find that Sanjaya, instead of thinking, "Now I've heard Bhagavad Gita, I'm so bright, I've memorized it. So, but what's the next thing to happen?" And he says, the end, "Tascha samsrita samsritya rupam adhya bhutam hare." No, actually. Rajan, "Tascha samsrita samsritya samvidami mam adhutam keshvarjana punyam risham icham hur mahu." That in the repeated remembrance of this conversation between Krishna and Arjuna, I'm taking pleasure, being thrilled at every moment. So his hearing of the Bhagavad Gita must be slightly different from ours. Just by remembering Bhagavad Gita, he's being thrilled. His hair is standing on end. And then he says, "Rajan samsrita samsrita Rupa Madhya Bhutam Hare, Vishmayo Me Maharajan, Rishamicha Punak Punak. And as I remember again and again this wonderful form of Krishna, I'm becoming ever more struck with wonder, and I rejoice again and again. So as Sanjaya was remembering the form of Krishna, as he was remembering the instructions of Krishna, he became ever more struck with wonder, and he was more and more ecstatic, rejoicing again and again. So this is the actual platform of understanding Krishna, where we can begin it. This is the entrance into understanding Krishna's glories. That when we actually able to appreciate that the sun, the moon, if the President of the United States came to Radha Desh, probably we, you know, give a little shout out. It would be quite sensational. They would have all our cameras out because the President's here and, you know, we want good publicity. But the person from which all the presidents in the whole universe is coming from, and all the universe is coming from, he's actually right here in Radha Desh. And the person who's controlling him is here too. These little gopis in Radharani, they're controlling the person. Because they're just fanning him and offering a little prasadam, and he can't move. He's just standing there. He's so much overwhelmed by their service, he can't even step a foot. So such a personality, you know, who's coming here taking his picture? Some of us are taking his picture, but most people don't appreciate him. But if we hear about him, we try to understand what's going on, then we'll actually be struck with wonder that here's a person. He's standing there. And he's not even moving. He's just playing on his flute. And we can't even hear it. He's eating all this prasadam. And he never gets a digestion. So such a person is certainly quite amazing, even from that point of view. We may doubt that actually this is Radha Gopinath. That this is actually Krishna himself. But we can see that as far as I know, Radha Gopinath, even if they were just statues, how is it that they're collecting more money than everyone else? There's so many statues, but who's putting money into the, you know, into the statue's box? So there must be something about these personalities. So even from that point of view, the fact that Krishna, he's not only in our temple, but he's in all the temples around the world. Not only is he in all the temples around the world, but he's also in everyone's heart, which makes everyone a temple. Not only the heart of the human beings, but in all the animals, all the insects. He's in everyone's heart. And he's not disturbed by them. If we had to see most of the things he sees, we'd be in our back all day, you know, stunned. But he's not even disturbed, he's still smiling. So what to make of all that? All we can do is try to follow the process that he's given us, and hopefully by following the process we can begin to understand something about his glories. And part of the symptom about understanding Krishna's glories is that we become free from moroseness. In the material world, everyone is morose because of our contact with this material body. Since time immemorial, since our contact with the process of sense gratification, that everyone's in the most material nature, and therefore we're feeling morose. But as Prabhupada said, if you're feeling morose, that's a sign of lack of bhakti. Because we're in the most material nature, therefore we can't understand Krishna's glories. Indriyani mano buddhir asti dishtanam ujjanam. Indriyani mano buddhir asti dishtanam. Nashti Buddhi Yuktasya, Nacha Yuktasya Bhavanaha, Nacha Bhavya Takshandir, Ashantasya Kuta Sukham Indriyani Hiparitam Yanmano Nubidiyate Tarasya Harati Pragya Vayor Navam Ivambasi.
So just like a boat on the water is swept away by a strong wind, so even so, one of the roaming senses in which the mind becomes fixed can carry away a person's intelligence. So because our intelligence has been captured by the illusory energy, therefore we have to take it back. And that taking back our intelligence comes about, or a revival of our intelligence, just by hearing about Krishna from authoritative sources. By hearing about Krishna, then gradually our intelligence can wake up. Just imagine that here we are, every moment, time is taking away our life, and we're thinking everything's alright. We're going to an astrologer trying to figure out when the good times come. No one goes to the astrologer trying to find out when everything's finished. That generally people go because they want to find out when everything will be alright. But how can everything be alright? Everything's being taken away from us, gradually. And the more we get, then the more we'll suffer when it's taken away. And this is all being done under Krishna's energy called time. And because of Maya, we don't realize it. We're not conscious of it. What is that verse by Yudhisthira Maharaja? Hani hani bhutani gacchanti amalayam sheshasarahi chanti kemascharyam tapura. And then if someone talks about it, it's considered very depressing. Someone hears it, you know, in class, they were talking about time for the whole class, everyone gets real depressed. Why don't you talk about something enlivening? But this is Krishna's end. This is Krishna. Actually talking about time means to also talk about Krishna. And it's amazing. It's wonderful. That the whole material universe is going on. Their life is being taken away by time and everyone thinks they're going to be here forever. That's incredible. That since time immemorial, we've been taking one body after another and still hoping everything's going to be alright. It's incredible. Well, this is Krishna's potency called Maya, and we're all in this pastime called the illusory energy. This pastime of the illusory energy, the great acharyas, they recommend that we study this pastime. Krishna's pastimes within the illusory energy, within these three worlds. That this is more important, they tell us, than studying Krishna's pastimes in the eternal energy. So though we may be very anxious to understand what Krishna's pastimes are with the gopis and Radharani and the internal energy, actually we won't understand them as long as we're in the illusory energy. As long as we're caught up in these pastimes, then we'll misunderstand them. Because we don't have any experience of what the unlimited spiritual potency is like. We only have experience within this limited potency, this material energy, and even this material energy we don't understand or appreciate very much. Because of the material nature makes us dull. So if we understand this material nature, and we appreciate how wonderful it is, how wonderful Krishna's pastimes are within this material world, then we'll become enlightened actually. We'll wake up, we'll become more serious, sober, about who we are and what's really going on here. And therefore we'll be able to utilize our time in a more valuable way. And after understanding thoroughly about the illusory energy, one can actually take up the position of devotional service securely and rise up to the platform by which one can actually experience and therefore begin to understand about the Lord's pastimes with the internal energy. Well, here it says, can know fully the omnipotent personality of Godhead. So what can others who are born after us know about Him? As Brahma is speaking about, neither I nor all the sages before you can know fully the omnipotent personality of God. So Brahma said he can't know everything about God, because he's born after God. Especially since God has been around eternally, it's hard to know everything about Him. So what can others who are born after us know about?
So others have just recently been around. Brahma knows quite a bit about Krishna, after all I know. Read about Brahma Samhita, it's a pretty good explanation.
But others came after him probably don't know quite as much as he does because they've heard from him.
But as far as Srila Prabhupada, he never claimed he knew everything. All he did is he knew the essence. He gave us the essence, the devotional service. He didn't say he knew everything about Krishna. But he gave us the essence by which we can, in the process, coming down the succession, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna himself. If Krishna tells us about himself, then we can certainly know something about him. So because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has told us all about Krishna, he's Krishna himself, the process of obtaining him. Because the six Goswamis have written and given us an explanation, Prabhupada's glory is in anyone who comes after Prabhupada, or before Prabhupada. The glory is not that they discover something new about Krishna, but they hand it down what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us through the six Goswamis, and has actually understood the mission, their mission, what it means to serve them. But because Prabhupada had realized that and demonstrated it, that therefore he understood the essence.
Yes. Morose. When it's feeling morose, it's a sign of lack of devotional service of God. Said it's election 1968. Said there was one little baby who was going. I guess he was smiling or something. He said, actually, that's very nice. He said, he's going, jive. The little baby was going, jive. But I said, oh, that's very nice. He said, that's a sign of Krishna consciousness. Always being jubilant. Jolly. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma. Always being, and then Brahma just chuckling. And he said, if you're feeling morose, that's a sign of lack of Krishna consciousness. Well, first become Krishna conscious and then we'll talk about it. First become actually conscious of Krishna. He'll tell you. He'll be able to worry about it. Yes. Well, if you're in contact with the sun, certainly you're going to feel heat and light. So if you're in contact with Krishna, you will certainly feel his potencies, of which the principal potencies are bliss, knowledge, and eternal. The more we come in, actually, the more we increase our ability to meditate upon Krishna consistently, with more devotional feelings, then the more Krishna will reciprocate and reveal himself, the more we'll be able to experience and actually what Krishna consciousness means. Viryas, tatra, and muryati. But is actually in Krishna consciousness, then he's not bewildered by all the different changes of the material energy. It's fixed in Krishna consciousness.
Anything else?
Yes.
Yeram deham savivyanam idam vaksham esheshka yadvyatmaneha punyam yad kritavyam avashishete.
You can know me, as it says, he says the same thing. Yo mam enam asamuda. So he keeps on repeating this word, asamuda, without doubt, without becoming bewildered. So that means, in full, means that not that we can know everything about Krishna, but we can know, without any doubt, that who Krishna is and who we are. That's the fullness. The fullness is we know Krishna, without doubt. But even Krishna, he doesn't know himself completely because he's always in his pastimes with his devotees, which is going on eternally everywhere. He's always learning new things about himself.
So he has to reach the limit of understanding himself. So what to speak of our knowing everything about Krishna? Well, we can know Krishna directly, just like Mother Yasoda knew Krishna or Nanda Maharaj. Krishna was fully there. And they had a full relationship with him. And there was, you know, but we can know Krishna in the same way. Okay, thank you very much. Grand Direction, Bhagavatam, Kijai, Shri Prabhupada, Kijai, Shri Prabhupada.